morning is how wonderful it is to have our visitors. We appreciate you being here. We hope you're looking for a place to worship and that you found it. We're open to questions. If you have any questions or comments about our worship service, we're glad to visit with you and encourage you as you encourage us. Second thing is I'd like to express my deep appreciation to all of you for your patience with me while I was sick, especially with Terry and Joel as they preached the gospel, and it's so good to have brethren so capable and so faithful that will do what has to be done and are so willing to do it. It means a great deal to me to recognize that when I was out that things were going on doing the work of the Lord. So I express my appreciation to that. I'm still recovering somewhat, but we're likely doing much better. We're thankful for that. I want to talk about something this morning that we've mentioned in times past in some of the classes we've had in the Old Testament, talking about the book of life. And this sermon will be a sermon of encouragement to the children of God, and we truly hope that each of you will have this question that you think about: is my name in the book of life? That's really what matters. It doesn't matter so much about what's going on in this life, though sometimes it can be awfully difficult, and we can have a lot of trials and temptations. But if there is in the heart of the Christian the confidence, and I'm not talking about self-confidence, but the confidence that comes from God's Word, that my name is written in the book of life, how sweet it is to be able to think about that and to recognize that we do have that opportunity for God to know us the way that He does. There are a number of times when this is mentioned. Back in the book of Exodus, Moses was working so hard for the Lord, and the people of Israel were so obstinate and worshipped idols, and they were immoral during many of the times, even while Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. And the Lord said, "Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe out all these people. They're not worthy of my love. And I'm going to start a new tribe with just you." And Moses said, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." Now, I don't care whether that's a literal book or a symbolic book. It is the knowledge of God of who His people are. And I want to be in that number. And I want to encourage you that whatever it takes, that you will be in that same number, that your name will be in the book of life. Moses was such a sacrificial person that he was saying, "Destroy me, but if you can't forgive these people, just write my name out of the book of life." That shows a great deal of concern for the people of God. It's like the Apostle Paul, when he said that he recognized that the people of Israel had turned away, and he said that if possible, he would lose his own soul for the people of Israel. And that's such a sacrificial thought that he would be willing to do that. We have another passage in Hebrews 12, verse 23, where the writer is talking about the people of God of the New Testament as opposed to those of the Old Testament. But he combines them both when he says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." I hope that you'll think about that personally. Is your name registered in heaven? That's such an important thing to think about and to recognize, that we know God, but that God knows us. And that's the important thing to do. And everything else becomes less of importance. And so Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, "The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are His." That's such a wonderful thought. We get lost sometimes in the government with just being a number, a social security number, or we get lost in the multitudes of people in the world today, the billions of people that are there. But of all the billions of the world, God knows your name. Now, the way I feel about that is the assurance that God said, even if a sparrow falls to the ground, God knows that. And that shows the omnipotence of God and the omnipresence of God as He understands our humanity. And He knows those who are His. We're not forgotten. We're not overlooked. We're not omitted. God has registered in heaven those who belong to Him, and the Lord knows those that are His. So it's not a matter of a denominational connection. It's not a matter of anything except just being right with God, and we need to understand that. So the importance of being in the Book of Life is very obvious, because only those whose names are found in the Book of Life can enter heaven. And we need to appreciate that and recognize what is being said. Turn to me with Revelation 21 and verse 27. There the Lord is talking about this very thing, and it gives us this hope that we have. In verse 27 of Revelation 21, "But there shall be no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." We hear a lot of times, as you go to funerals of people who have been scoundrels and worse, we hear them being preached right into heaven. And when you look at the thought, a common thought about most religious people, everybody is going to heaven. I don't enjoy differing with that. It doesn't give me pleasure to differ with that. But the Lord's statement in verse 27 is very real. If your name is not written in the Book of Life, you're not going to heaven. And that makes it extremely important, something that we need to understand and be sure of. Those not found in the Book of Life will be cast into hell, this time in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 15. So we'll look back at that for just a moment and recognize the opposite of the Book of Life. In chapter 20 and verse 15, the Scripture says, "Anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I think about the judgment, and I recognize that we're all going to be there. And when we look at the judgment of God, He's going to be looking at our record. He's going to be looking at the books, He says. Books are going to be opened. And one of them is the Book of Life. And if my name is not written there, I'm going to hell. I say that in a way that we need to be real about this. I read sometimes ago that a psychiatrist said that anybody who believes in hell needs mental health treatment. But it's real, folks. This God of love is also the God of justice. And while we understand and sing this morning about the love of God, at the same time, God hates sin, and He's going to have judgment on the sinner. So it means that we need to look at ourselves. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And do you repent and turn from your sins? Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins? That's what keeps us out of hell. The idea that we're all sinners, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God. And Romans 6:23, the soul that sins shall surely die. The wage of sin is death. And to recognize that that's the reality of this world we live in. But when I think about that and I get concerned about myself, I go back to the cross of Calvary. That enormous sacrifice that Jesus made testified that He loves us. He doesn't want us to go to hell. In 2 Peter 3, He says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that gives me hope that I can preach the gospel of Christ and interest people in going to heaven. And that's what this is all about. A friend of mine in his preaching says, if you miss heaven, you've just missed all there is. And that's exactly true. So we need to be aware of our condition in that sense. Really, when you look at life, nothing else really matters. Am I going to heaven? Am I living right? The book of Ecclesiastes very clearly showed that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. But we get involved in jobs. We get involved in hobbies. I've been reading what Brother Joel talked about last week when he talked about the Pokemon Go and how ridiculous it is that people fall off of cliffs because they're looking for a Pokemon. And one man stepped on a stick, but it was actually a snake, and he got bit and had to go to the hospital because he was looking at Pokemon and not looking what he was doing. And there are people that have walked into fences. They've done all kinds of things when they're looking at Pokemon, and that really doesn't matter. In the idea of eternity, whether or not you have an app on your phone that you can look at a Pokemon, whatever that is, and be more important than worshiping God, straightening out your life, acknowledging who God is. And we live in a technological age where people really depend on phones. It's amazing when you go with somebody and they're all sitting there looking at phones rather than talking. And you see this everywhere. And the idea is that we have forgotten how to communicate, how to be friends with one another, because we're so caught up in this technological age. It doesn't matter if we're not found in the Book of Life. And so we look at this, and getting our name in the Book of Life is what we need to understand. Do you know how to get your name in the Book of Life? We want to talk about that this morning. The Bible tells us we must obey the gospel. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel that is revealed in the apostles and in the New Testament tells us how to go to heaven. We must believe in Jesus. John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And so whether or not you ever get the app of Pokemon, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're taking that first step toward heaven. Then we have to repent of our sins. Jesus Himself said, except you repent, you'll all in like manner perish. And I don't see repentance as a national thing. I don't see repentance as going on in our nation today. I see people that are proud of their sins, and I see people that are willing to do anything for their own convenience, like abortion. And we're approaching 6 million abortions. We love our children. And the idea that we could put them to death. And one of the states recently passed a law that banned cutting babies to death in the womb and pulling them out and throwing them away. He banned that. And so it's legal for someone to take a pregnant woman and to insert instruments where you tear babies' limbs off. I can't believe that America has ever come to this place. It's so much like Hitler's regime in Germany when they experimented on people and they did things to twins because they wanted to know what made twins and things of that nature, and they were cruel to the nth degree. I'm ashamed of my country in this business of abortion. I'm ashamed of this country with regard to same-sex marriage. I'm ashamed of the country that's allowed wickedness to prevail and to be encouraged in that. And even from the White House, people have been invited to the White House and praised because they have the same-sex marriage concept. And this is a mockery toward God. How can we as human people ignore what's going on with our nation and they drift away from God? They're running away from God. Well, I tell you what, we've got to stand and make ourselves known. I've got to be sure that people understand that I believe the Bible and that I believe in Jesus Christ and that I believe in the morality of the Bible. We need to do that individually. And we start that by repentance of our sins. But then Romans 9 said if we will confess Him, we'll confess unto salvation. Unto, looking toward salvation. A long time ago, understanding that I was lost, I went before the brethren at Kilgore, Texas. Preacher was gone in a meeting. But I stood up and confessed my faith in Jesus Christ and recognized that I had things done that I needed to repent. And that evening, I was taken into the baptistry and baptized into Christ. I've never been ashamed of that. I've always been thankful that I was taught that kind of thing. Because I do, even today, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that controversial thing that's found in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized is often discounted. Folks, it's there. When all the debate has cleared and all the smoke has cleared and all the jokes have been cleared, it's still a teaching of Christ. This is he who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's Jesus' message. That's not a message of the Church of Christ. It's not some kind of a creed that we accept because we have a creed somewhere. We just know that Jesus taught us to do that. Now, I ask you this morning, and I know not the hearts of all who are here, but I ask you, have you done this to get your name in the book of life? Does it interest you to think, does it scare you to think that your name isn't there? Because you haven't done something so simple as this. And we need to be thoughtful about our future. I've done that because I want my name in the book of life. I'd like for you to personally consider what we're talking about this morning and to recognize that their names out of the book of life, and God tells us those who are. Like Moses said in Exodus 32, if you'll not forgive them, blot me out of your book of life. And so it's possible, we know that from what Moses said, it's possible we'll be taken out of the book of life. To blot out means to wash or smear completely, to remove, to wipe away, obliterate. Has your name even been in the book of life? This is a personal question that is the most important thing you'll ever face in your life. Is your name written in the book of life? And we recognize that some will not do that because of crucifying the Lord. Let's turn back to Psalms chapter 69 and notice that some will crucify no, and Peter even talked about those who crucify anew the Son of Glory. In Revelation 22, pass it over into the Psalms. In Revelation, Psalms, I'll get it here in just a moment. Book of Psalms, chapter 69, and in verse 28. The Scripture says about those, let their habitation be desolate, let no one dwell in their tents. Here are people who crucified the Lord. They have denied Him. They've turned against Christ. And Peter said, we crucify anew the Lord of glory. In Revelation 22, we recognize also that there are some who are taking away from the Bible the real Word of God. And the Apostle John, as he was inspired to write the book of Revelation in chapter 22, beginning with verse 18, he said, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and the things that are written in this book. And so we have to recognize this is true. I cannot break this law, no more than I can break the law of gravity. A lot of people, even those looking at Pokemon not long ago, fell over a 70-foot cliff. They didn't break the law of gravity. And you can't break the law of God either. So we need to recognize that this is a reality of what is going to happen. And Revelation 3, as John is writing to the churches of Asia, in Revelation 3 and verse 5, he said, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, 5. Those who do not overcome. Having God confess your name. Tom, come on in. Can you put your name there? I saw on television a day or so ago that if he'll make a contribution of a certain amount of money, like $100 or more, to Donald Trump, your name will be on the overhead PowerPoint during the convention. And you think, whoa, my name would be up before millions of people. That's nothing. Nothing compared to having your name in the Book of Life. And I hope this soaks in. I hope it gets to be very personal. You're thinking about yourself. Now I think of myself. And I'm thinking of what I need to do to be right with God. Hope you're asking the right question for that. And then Hebrews 10 talks about those who lose their faith. And we recognize that so many people of our generation has turned away from God. This building would be filled if the people who used to worship here had not lost their faith. The church would grow so much if people would not lose their faith. I talked with a man out in Owensboro, Kentucky. He's a brilliant man. He does a lot of work with books and articles and things. He talked about his dad. And the church had problems where he was a member, and he lost his faith. He quit and never went back. And you talk about so many people that's happened to. Yes, the church has troubles. The devil is not going to leave us alone. And so anytime that you have a church standing for the truth, there are going to be issues that need to be dealt with. But we do that as a trial and test of our faith, and we stand firm. So the churches of Christ through the last 50 years have been filled with problems. But the Bible talks about the remnant, that group of people that are going to be faithful no matter what happens. My faith is not shattered because some brother becomes cranky or because he causes trouble. My faith is in Christ, not in the people. And so I've seen a lot of terrible things among brethren in my preaching life. I've seen a lot of things that discourage, but that doesn't turn me away from the Lord. And I hope you have that same understanding, that brethren can disappoint you, brethren can hurt you, but they never can take you away from your faith in the Lord. So people who lose their faith lose out of the Book of Life. And then those who sin willfully, and many are doing that today. Many are sinning willfully. They're doing what they know to be wrong. And the Hebrew writer says that they will not make it to heaven. Those who sin willfully must face the judgment day. And so it's very clear to those who want to go to heaven, I've got to avoid some of these bad mistakes. Those who fall away, Paul talked about those in 1 Corinthians 10, about the Israelites with whom God was not pleased. Many of them fell away with idolatry and adultery and various things. And their name was taken out of the Book of Life. Now I want to close this morning by talking about some of those whose name is out of the Book of Life. We're all going to be at the judgment day. And those who knew the truth and understood how to go to heaven, when they stand there and recognize that their name had once been in the Book of Life and had been taken out, can you describe their sorrow? Can you describe their regret? How deep is going to be the regret of somebody who says, I knew the truth. I had the opportunity to obey the gospel. I obeyed the gospel and then I fell away. And they're going to see those in the Book of Life going into heaven, and they're going to be turned away. That's the reality of it. And so we'd like to encourage you this morning to be really personal with yourself. I can't talk to you about that. I can't decide those things for you. But I will say there's a narrow road that leads to heaven. There's a wide road that leads to hell. And many people are going therein, but I don't intend to go. I've made my choice. I want to be with the few that are faithful to God, no matter what they have to suffer, what they have to endure. By God's grace, we'll go to heaven. So I invite you this morning, as we're going to sing the invitation song, look into your life and ask yourself this important question. Is my name in the Book of Life? Do I know what to get there by doing? We invite you to obey the gospel of Christ if you need to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Will you stand as we sing?